No such thing.
Sure there is. I'm shivering because you're so hot. In typical Hayden fashion, he misunderstands me.
I am too warm.
His body immediately lifts off of mine, his fists pressing in the furs on the sides of me. He looks frustrated and disappointed. No, no, I tell him and grab the long braid of hair that hangs over one shoulder and tug it forward. I love Hayden's hair. He shaves the sides of his head short and braids the rest of it into one long braid that hangs down his back. All of the Sakwi have thick hair that they plait in different ways, some just to keep it out of the way, but I like Hayden's the best. I wrap his braid around my hand and pull him toward me. It's a human expression. We say something is hot when it means we find it pleasurable or stimulating, arousing. To me, you are hot, perfect, sexy, wonderful. His eyes gleam and I realize it's been forever since he's had that dead look in his gaze. It's been gone from the moment we resonated, and for some reason it makes me feel like crying with happiness. It's like this resonance between our cooties is saving us both. I do get a little weepy and sniff. The sexy look on his face dies, followed by worry. He cups my cheek.
Now why do you cry, my Josie?
I'm just emotional, I say, blubbering a little. I wipe at my eyes with his braid and try to give him a cheery look. I'm happy. His scowl returns.
You were nearly eaten by a sky claw yesterday. How does this make you happy?
You big ding-a-ling. You make me happy. Here. This moment. You and me. I just looked at your smile and realized that you've been sad for far too long. Me too. I think I've been sad and lonely for a long time. And I'm not sad anymore. I pat his chest, putting a hand over the plates covering his heart, where his Kui thrums a song in time with mine. We resonate to each other so much that it feels normal now, like the constant low-pitched vibration is just a thing, like breathing. This makes me happy. You and me together. Hayden nods slowly. His nostrils flare and the tense look crosses his face again before he slides an arm under me and tugs me against his body. I try to figure out what he's doing, but it's clear a moment later when he lowers his body onto the furs that he's holding me against him. He's holding me tight.
I nearly lost you.
But you didn't, I say, stroking his braid to soothe him. It's okay. The growl that escapes his throat as he buries his face against my neck tells me that he doesn't quite believe me. That's all right. If he wants to hug it out for a few, we totally can. I'm in no hurry, and I love cuddling with him. So I let him hold me close and my hands play over his arms, brushing over hard muscle and enjoying the soft, velvety feel of his skin against mine. One of his horns presses against my cheek and rubs there, and it's a little awkward and achingly sweet at the same time. You've got me, I tell him when he remains silent. You always have me. I know I'm safe when I'm with you because you won't let anything happen to me.
Never,
he growls against my throat.
Never.
Just hearing that turns me on a little more. He's so possessive. Funny how that's never turned my crank in the past, but now it makes my nipples hard. Funny how it's Hayden's possessiveness that makes me so wet with lust. I never thought I'd fall for the guy in a million years, and yet, my cootie sure knew what was up. Good cootie. I'm totally listening to you from now on. While I'm lost in thought, Hayden nuzzles my throat again. Then I feel his tongue rasp against my neck, in the sensitive spot between collarbone and throat. Ooh, I moan. He licks it again and then begins to press frantic, quick kisses and tiny bites along the line of my shoulder. It's like he can't get enough of just touching me, and I stroke my hands over his arms and down his chest, doing my best not to interrupt him. Because really, I want more of this. I want more of his mouth on my skin, his body pressing mine into the furs. I want more of everything. He licks at the curve of my shoulder again and then nips at the skin with his pointed teeth. It stings just a little and I gasp. He makes a tisking sound under his breath and then licks the wound and another moan escapes me. All right. I'm down for biting if it means I get more tonguing.
I like this frank kissing. He breathes against my skin. You are so soft everywhere. It is a pleasure to touch you.
Pleasure's all mine, I tell him, and it's true. I'm not doing more than touching his arm and grabbing at his braid. He's making this all about me. You do whatever you feel like.
I want to frank kiss all of you, Josie.
He moves back to my throat, nipping and kissing and then dragging his tongue over my skin.
I want my tongue all over your body.
Oh, boy. I want that, too. My cootie's practically throbbing in my chest, it's so excited. I'm all yours. He nuzzles his way down my front, heading toward my breasts.
Your teats are so full,
he murmurs as he explores the valley between my breasts with his lips. They are? I've always been a pretty flat-chested girl, but I suppose compared to the Saqui women, I'm downright busty. They have more flat pectorals unless they're nursing. Come to think of it, Malak the healer is the only one I've seen that fills out a shirt, and she's both nursing and pregnant. Oh. I never thought I'd be considered busty. You like?
Love.
He growls and licks along the slope of one small breast. He moves to the tip and then runs his lips over my nipple.
So soft, here.
I squirm, moaning with need. Soft? My nipples feel pretty dang hard. He lifts his head and his eyes are glowing a fierce bright blue. His cootie's humming like a freight train, too.
Soft,
he repeats. Hayden takes one of my hands and guides it to his breast, placing my fingers over his nipple.
Not like me.
I touch his nipple and it's as he says, hard as a rock. It feels a lot like the ridged, rough plates covering his breast, actually. Huh. I stroke it and glance up at his face. Does it feel good when I touch it? He shrugs his big shoulders.
It feels like a touch. All of your touches feel good.
Big, sweet man. But I guess it doesn't feel like when I touch your cock. I slide my hand lower between us and brush against the length of it. Hayden's gaze darkens and I can hear his sharp intake of breath. I'm going to take that as a no, not the same.
It feels that way when I touch your nipples. To you.
I nod. It feels almost as good as when you touch my pussy.
Pussy.
I am so not explaining that word to him. I point primly. He grins, looking smugly pleased.
You're cunt.
And he reaches between us and cups it, because he's a bold son of a bitch.
You're wet, warm cunt.
My little hitching moan escapes me. That's the one.
I will get to it soon, Josie. But first I want to finish frank kissing your teats.
Go right ahead. I'll even ignore his repeated use of the unsexy word teats if it means he's going to tease my breasts some more. I arch encouragingly, thrusting my breasts out in an invitation. Hayden notices and his gaze drops back to my breasts. There's a fascinated look in his gaze as he leans in and very carefully, very slowly, licks the tip of one aching breast and watches my face to see my reaction. I nearly come right then and there. A little whimper escapes my throat and I wriggle under him. Oh, do it again, Hayden. He does and then growls low in his throat.
Say my name as I lick you, Josie. I want to hear it on your tongue.
I moan. That's so damn filthy. And so sexy. Hayden, I say breathlessly, and then whimper again when he gives my breast another teasing lick. God, yes. Just like that, Hayden. My big, sexy mate. My big, sexy mate growls again and takes my nipple between his teeth, lightly nipping and then licking away the hurt. My pussy clenches hard in response and I gasp. I swear I'm going to come if he continues this, and that's a first for me. Normally, it takes a lot for me to get into sex. My past hang-ups have left me with a lot of unpleasant memories. But with Hayden, None of that exists anymore. It's like he touches me and I'm instantly in the zone. And I love it. He moves to my other breast and begins a thorough, leisurely exploration of it with lips and tongue, as if it's a fresh new part of my body to discover instead of a twin to my other much-loved breast. His enthusiasm makes me quiver hard, and I cry out his name again as the intensity builds. Hayden, please. I'm panting, my cootie singing desperately. Please, I need more. My pussy's clenching around empty air, and I'd be stoked if he gave up on the foreplay and went straight to the fucking. Please. Hayden moves over me and cups my cheek, worry mixing with the heat in his eyes.
What do you need, Josie? Tell me, and I will give it to you.
I need to come, I tell him, grabbing his braid and tugging on it. I'm so empty. I need you to fill me up.
Fill you? Here.
His hand cups my pussy again. I moan loud and spread my legs, eager for his touch. Yes, put your finger inside me. He captures my mouth with his again, and I moan into his mouth. His ridged tongue slicks against mine, and I can taste him, all delicious, musky male. Our quees throb together even as his finger glides through my folds, and I nearly come off the blankets when I feel the thick length prod at the entrance to my core. Please, I pant again, utterly shameless.
You want to ride my hand?
He growls, nipping at my mouth and then kissing a line along my throat, making his way to my ear.
You wish me to fuck you with my hand?
I shiver, because I want everything and anything he's willing to give me. I worry that he might be offended somehow, though. He's a virgin. Will it feel wrong to him to use his hand instead of his cock? It's not like I don't want his dick. I'm greedy. I want everything. But then he pushes into me and I shriek, my arms clenching tight around his neck. I'm coming, my pussy clenching around his thick finger as he gently bites my earlobe. It's the hardest I've ever come, and wave after wave of intense orgasm washes over me. My legs quiver and jerk as he slowly pushes his finger in and out. And then another moan escapes me when he licks my earlobe and begins to thrust into me with his finger. Did I say I was greedy? Because I want him to stop, and at the same time, I want more. Rippling aftershocks flutter through me with every pump of his finger, and my hips raise off the ground to meet the thrusts. It's like the orgasm train hasn't stopped. My cootie's going a mile a minute, and the quivers it's sending through my body are only amplifying the pleasure. It's like I've got a vibrator in my chest and in my pussy, and I wrap a leg around him, digging my heel into his ass as I start to come again. His tail thrashes against my leg as I cry out, another orgasm ripping through me with brute force.
Josie.
He groans into my ear, and I feel his body rubbing up against my side. A moment later, I realize it's wet. He's come against my hip, unable to help himself. And for some reason, I love that. I wrap my arms around him and kiss him fiercely, even as he continues to stroke his finger into me with hard, rocking thrusts. You came while making me come? I kiss his mouth lightly and then suck on his lower lip. That's so sexy.
My need. Too great.
He sounds as out of breath as I am. His finger strokes deep into me again, sending a new quiver through my body. Hayden kisses me again, a quick press of his mouth against mine.
My cock still aches for you, though.
I don't doubt it. I've come twice in the space of about a minute, and my cootie's still revved up. It's ready for more. It's like, now that we're close to the finish line, it's not going to let us back away. I tug on Hayden's braid again and rub my foot against his buttock. He's so muscular, it's a bit like rubbing against a velvet-covered bowling ball. But even that thought turns me on. He's rock hard, my mate. Do you want to stop playing? I ask him. The look he gives me is one of derision.
I have not finished, Frank kissing my mate everywhere.
Oh? A new little quiver rips through me. He pushes his finger in and out, a little more slowly. I'm not ashamed to say that I'm so wet from coming twice that every motion of his hand is making wet sounds. I've never been so slick from arousal before, and I love it. Hayden nods and sits up in the furs, his hand leaving my pussy. I'm a little sad about that, but the naughty gleam in his eyes is making me anticipate what comes next. I admire his body as he rests back on his knees, because there's not an ounce of fat under all that velvety blue skin. He's nothing but rock-hard muscle and abs that go on for miles. And a big dick. Can't forget that part. He grabs one of my legs by the ankle and carefully lifts it into the air. I can't help but giggle. What are you doing? He frowns down at my laughter and gives me a serious look.
I told you. I am Frank kissing my mate in all her places.
Oh, sorry, I say teasing. I won't interrupt again.
Good,
he says, voice sharp.
This requires all of my attention.
For a moment, I think he's suddenly in a pissy mood for some reason. But then I see his mouth twitch, and I realize he's fighting back a smile. Another peal of laughter escapes me, especially when he holds my foot close and then licks the bottom of it. I squeal, wriggling at the ticklishness. Don't lick my foot!
Silence, female. Your mate is pleasuring you.
He licks my foot again and then nips at my toes. I can't stop laughing. It's ticklish and silly all at once. But then he kisses the side of my foot, and all of the laughter dies in my throat because that one tender little action just made me melt. And then I'm no longer laughing as he kisses my ankle and then drags his tongue over it. When he moves on to my calf, nibbling at my skin, I've gone from finding this amusing to finding it terribly arousing. My cootie agrees, humming loudly. He continues to make his way forward, ignoring the outside of my leg in favor of inner knee and then inner thigh. He glances at me every so often, as if wanting to make sure that I'm watching. Like I could turn away? I'm utterly fascinated by his mouth on my skin. When it parts, and he licks at the inside of my thigh, I feel myself getting all wet again, and my hand reaches down between my legs to start touching myself. When Hayden sees that, though, he pushes my hand away.
That is mine.
Pfft, I can touch myself if I want. And I put my hand there again, my fingers seeking out my clit. He pulls my hand away again.
Do I need to show you that it's mine, female?
Ooh, now I'm all hot and bothered, especially at the sly gleam in his eyes. Maybe? He grunts acknowledgement of my response and presses one last kiss to my inner thigh before putting a hand on the opposite thigh and pushing it wide. He leans over the juncture of my hips, and his braid falls onto my leg.
This is mine,
he growls low in his throat, and that's the only warning I get before he pushes his face between my thighs and begins to kiss my pussy. And oh God, I almost come again right then and there. Like he promised, he kisses my folds and then licks them with his tongue. This isn't exploration as much as it is sheer determination to torture me, and he's doing a really great job at it. I moan as he drags his tongue over my sensitized clit.
So wet, he rasps between licks. Your taste is like nothing I have had before. It makes me only want more.
I grab the braid on my thigh, feeling desperate to anchor myself to something. But when that doesn't satisfy the urge, I take his horns instead. He holds my thighs spread apart and licks me with long, slow, leisurely strokes of his tongue, and each one makes my hips buck and rise. I want him to go on forever, even as I want him to stop and fill me with his cock. It's torture, all right, but the best kind. Hayden, I moan. I need you.
I need you to come for me,
he replies in a husky voice, and then licks my clit with that delicious, ridged tongue of his.
I want to have my tongue inside you when you do.
Another moan rips from me at the visual image, and I push his head back down for him to continue licking.
My mate,
he murmurs between licks and nibbles.
I have waited so long for you, to taste you, to pleasure you.
You have? His words are melting me more than his tongue is. I hope I'm not a disappointment. I fought him so hard, and I'm feeling guilty that I've pushed him away for so long.
Never a disappointment. It is everything I have wanted, and more.
For some reason, it makes me weepy. Maybe it's all the emotion barreling through us, courtesy of our cooties. Maybe it's because it feels like, for the first time, I'm loved and cherished. Whatever it is, a sob escapes my throat. Hayden tenses, and a moment later, he's up in my face, frantically kissing me.
My mate, my heart, what is it? Why do you cry?
I shake my head. I'm just happy. Emotional, but happy. You're giving me everything I ever wanted.
We have not fully mated yet.
He reminds me with another kiss. I can taste myself on his lips, and it's a weirdly erotic flavor. So what are we waiting for? I slide a hand to his hip and wrap my legs around him, trying to maneuver him into the perfect spot. An engraved invitation?
May what?
His brow furrows. That's human for stick it in already. Hayden's eyes narrow.
It is?
Close enough. He hesitates over me and then leans in to press another kiss to my mouth.
I do not want to hurt you, my Josie. Human females are not as strong or large as Saqui females. What if I am too much?
I pat his shoulder. That's sweet, Hayden, baby, but there are 11 other women who are very happily mated to your tribesmates, and not a single one has complained that her man broke her in bed. We'll be fine.
There are 11 other females, but I do not care about them,
he says, and strokes my hair gently.
I only care for my mate, and she is small and fragile.
She can take it, I assure you. I'm torn between frustration at the delay and giddiness at his sweet words. We'll go slow, and I'll let you know if it's too much, all right? Like hell I will. But if he thinks I'll sound the alarm, at least we can get things moving. And I'm getting desperate for things to get moving. The deep ache inside of me urgently needs filling. He gives me another look of concern, but then kisses me, because he knows kisses are awesome and they don't hurt me. I return the kiss with urgency of my own, dragging my tongue against his in what is hopefully an enticement for more. He pulls his mouth from mine and groans, eyes closing, and I realize just how difficult this is for him. He's already come once, and if I'm sensitized, I'm sure he's in agony. And yet he's stopping because he doesn't want to hurt me. God, that's sweet. I caress his cheek. I love you, Hayden. He grunts acknowledgement and thrusts his cock against my pussy. It slicks against my folds, dragging along my heated, sensitive flesh. I moan encouragement. He thrusts against me again, and his cock barely stabs at my entrance. I'm not sure if this is foreplay, stalling, or him just not entirely sure what to do next. But it's time to take matters in hand, it seems. I reach between us and take his cock in my hand. The breath hisses between his teeth and his body stiffens over me. I wait, just in case he's going to come, but when he doesn't, I realize he's just trying to hold out. You're doing awesome, baby, I whisper, and then guide him to the entrance of my core, my cunt, as he crudely calls it, and set the head of his cock against me. Then I place my hand on his butt and urge him to push forward. Take your mate, I tell him. Claim her. A roar begins in his throat, soft and growing louder. His body shudders and then he thrusts, hard, into me. I gasp, because it's an onslaught of sensation all at once. He's big. Really fucking big. And thick, and when he pushes in, I feel every ridge on his cock, every twitch of his muscles. His spur pushes through the folds of my pussy and rubs against the side of my clit, like a big extra bonus that I never knew I wanted until this moment. His tail lashes back and forth like an angry cat's, and it sends little motions through our joined bodies. Our quees hum in time, synced up, and my entire body feels like it's vibrating, which only enhances the sensations rippling through me. And his cock inside me? God. It's a strange cross between pleasure and pain with his initial thrust, but as he stiffens over me and his body freezes, It slowly morphs into a bone-aching pleasure.
Did I harm you?
Hayden strokes my hair again.
You made a sound.
I reach up, and boy, that seems like effort, because I feel a bit like a butterfly pinned to a corkboard, except, well, a sexy version. It's like I'm a bundled mass of nerves that are centered around where he's impaling me against him. It's amazing.
Josie?
Oh, shit. He wants an answer, and here I am, all dopey with endorphins. I'm wonderful, I breathe, a blissful smile curving my mouth.
I need to move,
he says in a strangled voice. His hips grind against mine just a little, as if he's trying desperately to hold back from going to town on me. Then do it, I encourage. I move my hands to his big shoulders and squeeze my legs tighter around his hips. This close together, the sheer size and bulk of him against me is emphasized, and if it were anyone else, I might have a real concern for my safety in his arms. But this is Hayden, and he would absolutely die before harming me, so I know I'm safe. I trust you. It's like my words cause the dam to burst, and his control flies out the window. He groans loudly, and then his hips surge against mine. It's a strong, hard thrust of his cock deep inside me, and then I'm groaning just as loud as him because when he moves, not only do I feel every ridge drag back and forth inside me, rubbing against my walls, but his spur glides against my clit, brushing against the hood. It feels incredible. Then he's moving again. And again. Each thrust seems to grow in strength until he's pounding into me, and it feels amazing. My groans have turned into little cries, and I'm lost in the whirl of sensation. The entire world has boiled down to just this moment, just this place where our bodies are joined, and all pleasure seems to be exploding through me at once. As he fucks me, it's like every sensitive spot in my body is being teased at the same time, and it's too much. Another blistering orgasm rockets through me, and I scream out his name, my nails digging into his shoulders. I can feel my pussy clenching tight around him like a vise, and somewhere in the blur of pleasure he's shouting my name in a hoarse voice, and my cootie is singing with his so loudly it's like a freight train is barreling through the cave. And I just keep coming through all of this cacophony of sound and bliss. Over and over, orgasm after orgasm wallops me. I'm pretty sure I pass out at this point. At some point, my senses come back to me, and I realize I'm flat on my back on the furs, still gasping for breath. My body is wet with sweat, and the warm velvet that is Hayden's skin is stuck to my own. His big body is crushing mine into the furs, but strangely enough, I like it. And my mate? He's pressing kisses to my neck, our cooties purring gently in our chests. Wow. I breathe. You might have boned a consciousness out of me.
Meh?
Nothing. I pat his shoulder absently. Was it good for you, baby? He exhales deeply and props up on his shoulders to gaze down at me. I realize that I might still have his long braid wrapped around one hand, or what's left of it. I think there's more hair loose than in his braid at this point, and this is the most must I've ever seen Hayden. He's sweaty and flushed, and his long hair is everywhere, and it makes me grin.
It was enjoyable.
Wow. Faint praise much? I frown up at him, and I realize that I blabbed about loving the guy mid-bone, and all he did was grunt at me. Maybe he didn't hear me. I love you, you know. Hayden narrows his eyes at me as if I've said something puzzling.
Of course you do. We are mates.
I shove a hand at his shoulder. Are you serious? I just confessed love to you and you're all duh about it?
I am what?
I start wriggling out from under him. No mean feat, given that his epic cock is still buried inside me and feels amazing and still a little hard, and try to get away. Get off of me. I am so done here.
What?
He grabs me and holds me down under him. And all my squirming just seems to make all my sensitive girl parts get all turned on again.
Why are you mad?
Why am I mad? Because I told you I loved you and you act like it's nothing. I smack a hand on his shoulder. You're all mates love each other, and all I have to say to that is bullshit. I've seen Asha and how she treats Hemelo. She can't stand him. I wouldn't be surprised if she was screwing someone else just because she wants to piss off her mate. Or how about Zala, huh? Did she love you? Did you love her? Because you resonated to her just the same as me. He looks at me with surprise and stiffens. I see a flash of anger cross his face, and then that awful dead look returns to his eyes. He gets off of me, and I feel an ache of emptiness when his cock slides from my body and moves to the fire. He pokes at it with a long bone and won't look at me. I should be mad, but instead, I feel like I fucked up. I feel guilty and awful, like I just crushed whatever we had under my foot. I threw Zala in his face, and that's a low blow. I wouldn't like it if he threw my past in my face, the foster dads that snuck into my bed, the guys I slept with in high school when I was desperate for anyone to love me, the alien that raped me on the ship. I have a very long history with sex, all of it bad. And yet here I'm lashing out at the one person who made me feel wanted and adored, all because he didn't say the right words back to me when I wanted to hear them. I look over at Hayden. His back is stiff, his tail still except for the small flick of the end of it near the furs. I pull the blankets up around my chest. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I exhale deeply. I have a real need to be told that I'm wanted and loved. I never was as a kid, and now I guess it's still a sore spot with me. I shouldn't have lashed out at you, though. He slowly puts down the bone and turns to me. Hayden's eyes are narrow, the look on his face tight. I wince, expecting him to give me an earful of how pissed he is. But he only moves toward the furs and sits down next to me. We're both silent for a long moment, and then he says,
When the Skyclaw pulled you into his mouth and flew away, I thought my world was over. I put my blade to my breast and was ready to follow you to the next world.
I swallow, then nod.
I did not do that for Zala.
His voice is achingly gentle.
I would not do that for anyone else. But you, Josie, I would follow.
My eyes brim and hot tears start to slide down my cheeks. I nod again because what else can I say? He's right. I was looking for words when all along he's been a man of actions. Words are easy to say, but actions are everything. He reaches up and gently brushes the tears away from my face.
I have never had a mate before, Josie. I will not always do the right thing. I will not always give you the words you feel you need.
He cups my chin and forces me to look up at him.
But make no mistake. If you leave this world, I will not be long behind, because I cannot live without you.
I burst into tears and fling my arms around his neck. Who needs a few love words when you have a guy like Hayden?
Chapter 19. Hayden. 1 week later. It takes many, many days for the resonance to sing through our systems. Perhaps it is because we have both denied it for so long that it is now insisting upon regular matings to feed its need for Josie to carry my kit. I am glad to comply. Mating with my female is a joy, and filling her with my seed seems to fill my heart as well. We explore each other over the days, learning what makes the other aroused. I learn that Josie's ankles are very sensitive, and so are her bountiful teats, which she insists are quite small. I learn that when she starts repeating my name over and over, her cunt will start to milk my cock hard and the pleasure doubles. I learn that she loves to wake me up with her mouth on my cock. I shamelessly enjoy that as well. But after two hands of days in which Josie and I do nothing but sleep, eat, and mate, I am ready to leave the cave and turn homeward. This hunter cave is sufficient, but it is cramped, and the winds blow right through the cave late at night, which sets my small mate to shivering against me. The furs need a good airing after our repeated matings, and we are low on rations. I can always go hunting, but I worry about leaving my mate alone for long periods of time. Every time I think of leaving her behind, I see the Skyclaw swooping low and snatching her away, and I head back into the cave and hug my female tight against my chest. And then we mate frantically once again. Josie and I must return to the tribal caves, though. If Harlow and Rook have not yet sent hunters out in search of our trail, the tribe will eventually worry why we have not returned from visiting the Elder's Cave. And I must warn them about the Skyclaws that have appeared. Rahash takes his mate Liege out hunting with him, and they must be careful. Above all, we must rescue the females in the cave. Josie reminds me of this daily, but I have not forgotten. I just will not put her in danger to save them. So as my mate sleeps against me, her cheek pressed to my chest, I lie in bed with her and think as I stroke her soft mane. I ponder ways that I might travel back to the tribe with my mate safely at my side. She cannot walk back. I still have nightmares of her being snatched away again. I consider a sled, but she can be plucked as easily from the top of a sled as she can from walking. And I cannot leave her alone in the cave as I head back. We are still 2 or 3 days of slow travel from the tribal caves. So I ponder. She makes a soft waking noise and then nuzzles at my chest. My cock gets hard and my qui awakens in my breast. The painful urgency is gone, and I hope it means that my kit is even now growing inside Josie's body. The thought fills me with pleasure and terror both. She must be brought safely back to the caves. My own safety is nothing compared to hers.
"Is it morning?" Josie murmurs.
She doesn't get up, only flings a small arm over my chest and hides her eyes in the crook of my shoulder. She clings to me like a kit. Amused, I imagine standing up and seeing if she would crawl atop me and hold on, her arms around my neck so I can carry her. My eyes widen. That is the solution.
"We're going to what?"
Josie's mouth opens in shock as I pack her things into my backpack and then hoist it over my shoulder. "I am going to carry you," I tell her. She's shrugging one of her furs around her, preparing to travel. One end trails on the ground because the fur was made to fit my larger body, and so I move forward and tuck it around her. Like a kit, I made a wrap. Her mouth drops open again.
"You're going to carry me like a baby? Why?"
"Because you are small and easy to carry." I pull the fur forward, making a hood for her mane. "And while you are strapped to my chest, I will not have to worry about a skyclaw pulling you from the ground and devouring you."
"But carrying?"
I nod and loop the full water skins over my neck, settling them against my belt. Then I take the long length of fur that I have sewn to another and offer her one end. "I am going to put this around you and tuck it into my belt."
"Oh, God, you even made a baby carrier."
She holds one end with a look of horror on her face.
"You're not joking about any of this."
"I am not." A short time later, Josie's arms are around my neck, her legs are around my hips, and the fur is wrapped tightly around the both of us, strapping her to my chest. Her cheeks are bright red, and she wriggles against me in a way that makes me wonder how far we will manage to travel. I can feel her cunt resting against my cock through the furs, and my qui starts a humming song. But she is safe this way, and her weight is nothing. I can walk with my cock aching in my breechcloth. Have I not done so for more than a turn of the moon? I take a few steps, and she sucks in a little breath and clings to me tighter, her teats pushing against my chest.
"This is very personal," she says, a quiver in her voice. "I'm not sure if this is the best idea or the worst."
I am not certain either, but it will keep her safe. We start out from the cave, my gait awkward but sure. A fresh snow has fallen, and my steps crunch with every landing of my boots. All of this just confirms that my decision is a good one. The air is crisp and refreshing, but Josie shivers against me. It is colder than usual, which means the Skyclaws will be hungry and seeking prey. Not my mate. Not this day. I walk faster, one arm resting against her bottom to hold her in place. Her face is pressed up near mine, but she is silent. She does not seem happy with me carrying her, but I am pleased with my decision. Now I can walk as fast as I need to, and she is safe. This is best. I jog a little, eager to get home and take my mate into our cave. Josie's hands grip my leather vest tightly, and she moans, burying her face against my neck. I stop.
"Josie? I'm fine," she mumbles. "Carry on."
Her words are confusing. Her body is tense against mine. I can feel it, but she pretends otherwise. It concerns me, but we must leave the safety of the small hunter cave and start our journey home. She cannot hide in it forever, and I will not leave her. So I press a hand to the small of her back, my other supporting her tailless bottom, and continue forward. We walk, continuing. The flat, open snow changes to spindly trees, and a distant cliff lines the edges of a valley. On the horizon there is a herd of Divisti, and the churned snow here tells me that they came from this direction. I move to follow the herd, as it will be easier for a Skyclaw to pick off a Divisti kit than a human, but I will not let my mate walk, regardless.
Her arms clench tighter around my neck, and she moans again. I feel her thighs quiver around my hips, and a surge of lust grips me. A moment later, I smell her scent on the air. She's aroused? Josie? I know, she mumbles against my neck. I'm sorry, just this position is really wild. Every step you take pushes me against your dick, and I thought I could just kind of quietly endure it, but why did you have to be so sexy? Then her small tongue flicks against my skin. I nearly stumble. My cock is achingly hard at once, and my kui, quiet until now, begins a loud, insistent song. The need to claim my mate overwhelms me once more. We will not be able to travel if this continues, and it is a problem I am all too eager to resolve. I look around for something to lean my mate up against, and finding nothing suitable, I reach between us and begin to undo the waist tie of my leggings. She gasps and wiggles against me. "What are you doing?" "I am going to pleasure my mate," I tell her. "Keep your arms tight around my neck." "Ooh, we're stopping?" "We are not stopping," I tell her. "At least, that is my hope." I free my aching cock and my leggings slide to my thighs. She notices this, and a breathless giggle escapes her. "We're not going to get far with your pants around your knees." "Hush," I tell her, nipping at her earlobe. I rather like having her against me like this. I do not tower over her this way. Our faces are close together, like in our furs at night. I fumble under her tunic to find the tie to her leggings, and her hand pushes mine out of the way so she can free herself. She shoves the material down, but not very far. Her spread legs gripping me will not allow the leather to give much. It does not matter. I can feel her warm cunt, smell her perfume on the air. I lick at her soft neck even as I take my cock in hand and guide it into her warmth. I sink into her easily. She is wet and eager. Josie cries out when I enter her, arms tightening around my neck. Her thighs squeeze against me, and she moans my name. It is a tight fit like this, but thrilling. The smallest rocking motion of my hips makes her slam down on my cock, and my spur glides through her folds, hitting the third nipple that makes her cry out with such excitement. "Damn!" she breathes into my ear, and tries to raise her hips in an awkward bounce. She wants more. I grip her body, anchoring her to me, and begin to thrust. Not deep strokes, but small, quick motions, my hands pulling her down onto my cock with each surge of my hips forward. She cries out again and clings to my neck as we move together. She doesn't last long. I don't either. The qui makes us desperate with our need, and once she comes and her cunt begins to squeeze around me, I thrust harder, releasing inside her with a ferocity that surprises me. Every time with my Josie, it is better. It does not matter how fast or how slow we go. We burn hot for each other, and it is always, always good. I wrap my arms tight around her, holding her against me as I pant to catch my breath. "Whew," she says after a moment, giving me a dazed look. "That was intense." She leans forward and presses a kiss to my mouth. "But awesome. Maybe there's something to being carried after all." "It is not that," I say. "It is that my female is insatiable for her meal." She gasps, then giggles and mock slaps my shoulder. "Don't turn this around on me, you chauvinist." I do not know the word, but her meaning is plain, as is the smile on her face. I give her an affectionate nuzzle and then reach between us to lift her off my cock. We are both sticky with our release, and I grab a handful of snow from the ground and clean us off, despite my mate's squeals of protest. Then I tie my laces again, one-handed. They're not as tight as it could be, but it doesn't matter. I suspect, due to the pleasant hum of our quees, that this will occur more than once. I leave Josie's leggings unlaced. Once the leathers are secured around us, I heft my light mate back into my arms and on we go. By the time we crest over the next valley, Josie shifts against me, and I hear her qui begin to sing again. "My mate?" I ask. "Do you need your mail again?" "What? No," she squeals. "I'm fine. Ignore me." "Very well." We continue on. "Ooh," Josie moans again a short time later. "Do you need your mail?" I ask again. My cock is already ready for her. "Not yet," I continue on, and then she adds, "Maybe." When we crest onto the next ridge, her maybe turns into a yes. We do not travel far that day, but it is the most enjoyable travel I have ever enjoyed, and my mate is well pleased by the time we stop for the night.
Josie.
"I see the cave in the distance,"
Hayden murmurs in my ear as I drowse against his chest.
"Do you wish to walk in, or shall I continue to carry my female?"
"I need to walk," I tell him, stifling a yawn. "I'm exhausted. Between the marathon of 5 long days of travel, we've been stopping regularly to have sex thanks to the awkward but delicious position that Hayden carries me in. I'm pretty sure we've had more sex in the last week than I've had in my entire life. No complaints here, but as I yawn, I think I'm ready to have a break from travel at the very least. It'll be good to be back in the cave where others can help out when you're too tired to do everything yourself. Where there's other women to talk to when the guys disappear and go hunting. Where there's a bajillion babies to hug and kiss on. And soon I'll have one of my own. Warmth floods through me at the thought, and I squeeze Hayden's neck tightly and press a kiss to his cheek.
One more time before we reach the caves. Insatiable female.
He reaches between us and begins to undo the knot on his leggings. Wait, that wasn't what I meant, I protest. But when he nips my ear in that sexy way, I figure one more romp won't hurt matters. Just a quick one, I amend, tugging at my own clothes. He sinks into me and we work quickly. I've figured out that grabbing the front of his vest to anchor myself and letting him do all the heavy lifting works out best. Gravity does the rest, and within a span of a minute or two, I'm biting my lip and coming so hard that I'm seeing stars.
My mate, he hisses into my ear possessively. My Josie.
Ho! Calls out a distant voice. Hayden! Josie!
I squeal in horror and shift against Hayden just as he comes. Oh my god. Someone's going to see him nailing me, and then it'll be all over the cave. Babe, I say in his ear. They're going to see us.
I need a moment, he bellows.
My ears ring, but I'm glad he said something. I bury my face against his neck as his entire body shivers with the force of his orgasm. He bucks one last time and then nuzzles my cheek.
I should put you down.
It's sweet that he sounds strangely reluctant to do so. I press a kiss to his face and then slowly peel off of him. Love you, baby. He still doesn't grasp my human need to say what he thinks is obvious, but when he grabs a handful of my hair and gives me another fierce, breathtaking kiss, I know he means it just as much as I do. Then we straighten our clothing and Hayden tucks me under his protective arm, even though I'm assured that no sky claws come this far over the mountains, and we go to meet the hunter waiting for us. To my relief, the big blue shape on the horizon has given us some space and headed back down the track-covered paths leading toward the tribal cave. There's a plume of smoke on the horizon, and I feel a strange pang of happiness at the sight of it. To think I wanted to leave and never come back. A lot has changed in a few weeks. I touch my stomach, wondering if even more has changed than I imagine. I really, really hope so. I think of Hayden's baby in my stomach. I think of us as a family, and it makes me shiver with happiness. He pulls me closer and tugs the furs over my chest closed.
Cold? We will be home soon.
I'm good. I loop my arm around his waist, reaching for his tail. I promise.
Are you anxious?
I consider this. I am returning home, failed in my mission to defeat my cootie. But I'm also really happy the mission didn't work. I know everyone's going to be watching us like hawks to see how we react to each other. Ideally, I'd like another month alone with my man, maybe get a bit more of the frenzied fucking out of our systems and settle into being a couple, but I keep thinking of those two girls in the pods back in Metlac and Skyclaw territory. They need a rescue. And really? I can handle a few people smirking because I finally got laid. Not nervous, I tell him. You? He snorts as if the question is ridiculous, and I grin.
Oh,
the other calls again as we approach, raising a hand. I can tell from the long, smooth hair and the shade of blue that it's Saluk, Tiffany's mate. I'm suddenly eager to see my bestie. Up until she mated with Saluk, she'd been my roomie from day one on the ice planet, and I've missed her more than anyone else. I wave back. He jogs toward us, and I see his eyes widen a bit at the sight of Hayden's arm around my shoulders. I guess it is a little surprising to see us so snuggly. I'm not even bothered by that, strangely. I don't care. I'm happy, and no one's going to burst my bubble.
It is good to see the both of you, Saluk says as he approaches.
He leans over to clap Hayden on the shoulder and smiles at me.
Many have been worried. I think if you were not back in another moon, the chief would have sent us to find you.
Hayden makes an irritated sound in his throat.
Josie is safe with me. Vectol would not send anyone because he knows I am a good hunter. There is no need for a rescue.
Saluk just gives us a calm smile and takes Hayden's overloaded pack from his shoulder, slinging it onto his own.
Of course.
That's just how Saluk is. He's chill. Nothing bothers him. How's Tiff? I ask as we head down to the cave. She have morning sickness?
She is very good, Saluk says, grinning over at me. No sickness at all.
That bitch. It figures. I smile. Tiffany is like perfection come to life. She's beautiful, smart, talented, and nice to boot. I'd hate her if I didn't love her like the sister I never had. She's probably going to be the most perfect pregnant person ever.
Not in my eyes,
Hayden says, his tone a little surly as if the very thought irritates him. And that just makes me even happier. I give his tail a little squeeze, which, okay, probably arouses him. We make it into the cave, and the sense of smoke and roasting meat, the chatter of people, and a baby's cry fill me with a happy pang of homesickness. Oh my God! Someone squeals. It's Josie and Hayden! A moment later, we're surrounded by people determined to hug and greet us. I'm smothered in a wave of people as Nora, Stacy, Ariana, Megan, and Georgie take their turns hugging me. Liz shows up next and plops her baby into my arms. Because you'll want to see Rochelle before her mommy, right? She smirks. Get that practice in? I blush. Maybe. Ooh, someone sealed the deal. She leans in and puts a hand to her ear. I don't hear your cootie humming like a freight train anymore. Geez, Liz, why don't you be obvious about it? I say, but I'm smiling. Rochelle looks bigger than the last time I saw her, a thick shock of black hair sticking up and pulled into a tiny leather bow atop her head. She's so stinking cute. Didn't you know? Obvious is my middle name. She gives me a half squeeze. I'm glad you're back, and everything worked out. How are you sure it all worked out? I ask, curious. I haven't even had a chance to say much of anything. Because you're all goofy grins, Georgie butts in, shifting her baby on her hip. And Hayden keeps looking over here like he'd like to snatch you by the hair and drag you back to his cave Neanderthal style. I glance over, and sure enough, Hayden's giving me a scorching hot look, even as the other hunters greet him and chatter his ear off. I blush again. Then Tiffany appears, and Kira and Harlow, who's come to the main cave for a few weeks in the hopes that I would return. I'm handed babies to hug, and I admire Megan's baby bump. She's so close to giving birth, and Claire is just now starting to show, and everyone can't stop talking and hugging me. It's wonderful. I realize we're a family after all, the 12 of us. I never had a family in the past, and it's like fate has handed me a brand new one full of eclectic people. I'm so happy I could cry, but that would upset Hayden, so I just beam at everyone and hug the babies. So, what made you run? Harlow asks, handing over her little Rukar for his turn for my attention. And did you bring back my glass disc? I need that for the next rock cutter. It's in my bag, I tell her, and press a kiss to Rukar's little blue cheek. Of all the babies, he's the smallest, but he also looks the most Saqui. As for the running, it's a long story. Look at you, Rukar, you're getting so big. As if to prove that he's not going to fall for my clumsy attempt to change the topic, Rukar grabs a handful of my hair and yanks, burbling. I wince and detangle it from his little fist. I'm glad you're back, though I was starting to wonder if you'd ever return. You can be a little stubborn. I grin, even though Rukar's bobbing fist just yanked out several strands of hair by the root. I wasn't planning on it at first. What changed your mind? Kira asks. Oh, shit. No one else knows about the other girls yet or that I found the crashed ship. And Kira? If she finds out there were other pods, broken pods, she'll be devastated. She brought down the ship by destroying the crew, and while I haven't shed a tear for the kidnapping, rapey, murderous bastards, it's different when you realize there were humans on board. It's a long story, and one I should probably tell the chief first. Georgie steps forward and hands her baby to Liz. I'll get Vectol. Meet me in my cave? I nod and give Rukar another kiss before reluctantly handing him back. My stomach is in knots. It's a dual-edged sword, the finding of two more girls. On one hand, there are still many, many unmated men in the tribe who would love the chance at a family. On the other hand, I wonder at how this will affect poor Kira. And I think of the recent fighting over Tiffany's attention. These poor girls are going to be mobbed. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't rescue them, of course. I look around for Hayden. He's standing a short distance away with three other hunters, and they talk quietly. He turns the moment I look at him and gives me another possessive look, as if he's already done with all this reunion stuff and can't wait to drag me back to our cave. Boy, Liz wasn't wrong about that. I step away from the others, heading toward the cave that Georgie and Vectol share. Hayden immediately comes to my side, and I feel warm with pleasure when he joins me. I lean in close to him. I told Georgie that we need to talk to her and Vectol privately about the ship and the girls. I worry it's going to upset Kira. He nods thoughtfully.
And the unmated males will be eager to set out in the hopes of claiming one of the women. Some of them are without hope now that you are mine.
He rubs a knuckle on my cheek.
They will have to wait long seasons for Farley to come of age, or even longer for Esha, Tally, and the others.
Considering that Tally's a newborn and Farley's probably 13-ish, yeah, that's a long time. So what do we do?
We take it to our chief and let him handle it,
Hayden says.
It will be his responsibility, not ours.
Maybe it's selfish, but I'm glad of that. I'm tired of all the burdens and the drama. I just want to curl up with my mate by the fire and relax. I nod and lean against his arm as we head into the cave. No one's inside, which means Georgie's still out hunting down her mate. Hayden's big hand smooths my hair as if he desperately needs to touch me. I get that. It's weird being back surrounded by all these people after weeks of being alone. I know that there will probably be a celebration tonight for our mating. I know that people are going to be watching us and asking questions for the next while, because they're nosy. I know Hayden and I are going to have to go back out to the ship to rescue the girls, because we're the ones that know where it is. All of this just makes me tired. Hayden's fingers lace through mine, and even though it's a little strange since I have more fingers than him, it's still really nice. And as long as he's by my side, I'm down for whatever.
Chapter 20. Hayden. I let Josie do the telling of the strange ship and the pods she found inside. It is her discovery, and so it is hers to share. Even if it was not, I am content to remain at my mate's side and simply watch her talk with her friend Georgie. She is enthusiastic, tucking a strand of her soft mane behind her ear as she gestures with her hands. Her voice grows loud as she speaks, as if she is louder, the words will come out faster. It does not bother me, as it did in the past. I find it amusing. I touch her leg to let her know she is loud, and she casts a smile in my direction and lowers her voice, and I am filled with pride at my mate. She is perfect. Two more females like you and Georgie? I am pleased. The males without mates will be pleased. He gives Josie a curious look. Why is this a problem? Because everyone on that ship was killed, Josie says, glancing over at me again, and I don't know how Kira will take it. He shrugs and rubs his chin, glancing at me. She will be pleased we can save two females, will she not? My thoughts are the same as his, but sure she looks to her mate. I think it's more complicated than that. I can talk to her. Maybe she will want to go with the hunters on the journey. Make penance for her crimes, though I can't say that I'm sorry they died, considering what they did to us. But Kira might feel differently. Josie nods. That's a good idea. I'll go too. I speak up. No. Everyone turns to me. No? What do you mean, no? Now Josie is frowning. I ignore her show of temper. I mean, no. You will stay here in the safety of the cave. I will go. She sticks her tongue out at me and makes a noise. You're not the boss of me. I am your mate, I tell her evenly, doing my best to be stern and failing. A smile curves my mouth when she sticks her tongue out again. Your mate that pulled you from the belly of a skyclaw. Wait, what? Sure, she says. Vectal's expression darkens. Skyclaws? I nod. The cold has driven them over the mountains. Then no females go, Vectol says staunchly. We send hunters, and only the biggest and strongest. What the heck is a skyclaw? Georgie interrupts. And how did Josie get in the belly of one? Josie gives me a frustrated look and gives a short explanation of the skyclaw and how she cut forth from its belly and fell into my arms. She shudders as she tells it, and I caress her back to comfort her. I understand her bad memories. I still wake up at night with nightmares of my mate snatched from my arms. I realize it's dangerous, Georgie protests, but no, says Vectol, crossing his arms over his chest. He looks at me, and I nod slowly. On this we are agreed.
It is too dangerous to send a female out, especially one of the small humans. You didn't even hear what I had to say, Shorshi snaps.
I know what you will say, my resonance. He looks at his mate. You will tell me that the human female must go. I will say no, you will say I am wrong, but I...